And the farmer would stop and he would put it up and he'd get his whetstone and sharpen it often. And he would just swing his body, take a short step forward, swing his body again, another step forward, and he would keep working and keep working, reaping and harvesting the field. And the grain, the stalks would just fall flat on the ground as the farmer worked his way around the field. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Our message today from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, is on the perseverance of the saints. This is a very important subject to every believer, to know that the Lord, even in the midst of trials and tribulation, will preserve us, will keep us, and one day present us to glory in the fullness of his blessing. And so I hope that you'll stay tuned with us as we turn to Revelation chapter 14 today. But firstly, we have some ministry in song that I trust will thrill your heart and lead you into the presence of the Lord. We're going to turn to Revelation 14, and we'll commence our reading at verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. The word patience here means cheerful endurance. It means their keeping on attitude. And that's really the whole theme of this chapter. So we'll begin at verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another came out of the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice, a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters and the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Amen. We'll end our reading there. May the Lord minister to us and help us as we come to this passage of Scripture this evening. I've said it umpteen times in this pulpit, but it's my illustration that I must use, that my all-time advice to any young Christian when they say, "How do I get my life to be a real Christian life?" I say, the first thing you do is keep the Lord's Day. That's the first thing. If you keep one day in seven as a day for worship, for fellowship, for spiritual things, that will feed your soul, that will distinguish you as a Christian. Your very neighbors will know, your family will know, your friends will know. They'll know where to find you on Sunday. You'll be in church. And don't invite them to golf because they won't go. Don't invite them to do business because they won't go. They're Christians. They're keeping the law of God. And the law of God keeps us. And it puts that distinction between us and the world. Now, we're moving to the next bunch of verses here, 13 onward. Persevering saints are blessed at death. Look at verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." What a wonderful thing to be preserved in death. That lady I went to visit on Thursday as I went into the ward, and she recognized me. Her mind was quite sharp. And the first thing she said to me, "I'm dying. I'm dying." And of course, I went on to talk with her, and I read the Psalm 103. And as I read those words, she muttered them along. She knew that psalm really well. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And she was able to follow along with delight, and there was no fear. There was no fear of the future. This is a woman that has a tremendous testimony for Christ, loving the Savior. And here we see that persevering saints are blessed. And the word blessed here means extremely happy. Did you ever hear of Bishop Archbishop Macarius of the Eastern Orthodox Church, very famous head of the church, Macarius? And that's the Greek word for happy. And it's the word for exceedingly happy. And when you know that you are not going to hell, but you're going to heaven, you can even face death with certainty. Now, I've got a few reasons for that. Number one, verse 13, A voice from heaven pronounced it. It says here, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. John did not come up with these words himself. John was given these words to write, and he put them down, and we have them tonight here in Revelation 14, 13, as a word from heaven. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. The second thing is that when you're a Christian, you die in the Lord. And that means you are united to him. Now that little word in is a preposition. And in the Greek grammar, there's all kinds of prepositions. And I remember our Bible teacher, Dr. John Douglas, who was teaching us, well, he taught Hebrew and Greek, and he was teaching us about Greek prepositions. And he was a bit of an artist. He would make little drawings. And so he had these arrows going in different directions. And you have hooper, and you have ice, and then you have this little preposition in, which in the Greek is en, and it's the arrow going right into the center. If you imagine a tree stump, and the arrow goes right into the center, and that's this Greek preposition. You are in Christ. You are joined to him. You're united to him. You're like a branch in the vine. You are not on your own. And when you die, you do not go into eternity alone. The good shepherd of our souls is joined to us, and we are united in him. And if you tonight are in Christ, then blessed, exceedingly happy are everyone that die in the Lord. Thirdly, it goes on to say that they rest from their labors. Christian living on earth is labor. I want to say yesterday was a slog for me. From I got up in the morning till I settled at my desk on what I was going to preach this morning, this morning's message, Joshua chapter 3, when I settled on this is the passage to preach, I had a long, hard day. It was labor. I wasn't sure what way to take the passage. I read commentaries. I read a sermon by C.H. Spurgeon. I listened to a sermon by a preacher called William Hughes, who preached on that. I'd listened to in sermon audio some time ago. And I listened to it again, and I wanted to see what direction he was taking this matter of Jordan as a type of death. And so before I could even begin to plan my sermon, I had a lot of research to do. I had a lot of homework to do. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon before I settled, okay, this is going to be the direction, and I know the doctrine. I'm going to take these points. And if you remember, you remember the 3 points this morning? We had I can't even remember myself now. Expectation was one, application was the other, and the first one was explanation, right? So I got those three headings, and then I discovered that some of them were overlapping. And so I had material there that I moved here, and I had things that I needed to work out there. It was a slog from beginning to end. It was labor to preach. Now the Christian life, some people think it's just magical. There's no exertion, there's no demands. The Christian life is discipline. It is work. We are soldiers. We are to march, we're to keep in step. We are to work. Gospel churches are called works. It's a gospel work, and it is work. It doesn't just happen. But you'll see here that these Christians rest from their labors, and they enter into wonderful rest. John the Apostle lived to be an old man, and yet he was still suffering on the Isle of Patmos, isolated, banished, deprivation on a rocky island, windswept, inhospitable, an old man whose bones must have ached. And there he was for the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But there came a day when John entered into his rest. He was a persevering saint. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He's our helper. And there was a point yesterday in my chair, I had to get down on my knees and say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit now. I need the Holy Spirit to teach me, to open up this scripture, to know how to preach it. I need the Holy Spirit in the pulpit, but I need the Holy Spirit now as I seek to prepare this message. And that's how God keeps us persevering. You'll notice something else wonderful here, that saints reap eternal rewards for their earthly gospel works. It says in verse 13 that they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. I think of a shepherd going back to the fold. He's been out all day leading the sheep, feeding the sheep, and he comes back home, and the sheep follow. His works follow him. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. What we do on earth will be displayed in heaven. Now I note, and I want you to note, their works is not the basis of getting to heaven, because the works follow. The works do not precede. If we were saved by works, we would present them at the gate of heaven and say, here's what I have as my offerings for heaven. But the Christian enters heaven and your works follow you. What you do for Jesus, even giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, serving in his church, encouraging God's people, taking on different roles, offering yourself for effort and service in the Lord, all of these things will show up and be part of our eternal rewards. Now, did I say one more? I'm not sure if I said that now, one more. But if you look at verse 15 onwards, right to the end of the passage, you will see that when the angels come in with the sickles, and you will see in verse 14, in the white cloud, one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. This is the harvest of the world. Now I thought about that sickle. The Greek language simply means a harvest hook. I remember when I was growing up on the farm, my dad had a scythe. And think about it, 100 years ago or less, all harvests were done by a scythe. There were no reaping machines, no combine harvesters. And there are many places in the world today where harvests are reaped with what the Bible calls a sickle. I'm going to use the word scythe because I'm familiar with that. And a scythe is a fairly large blade, about 2 feet long, with a curve to it, attached to a wooden handle, and the wooden handle is curved almost like partly an S-curve, so that you can hold it with two handles and you just swing your body. And if it's good and sharp, and that's the key to it, keep the scythe good and sharp, and the farmer would stop and he would put it up and he'd get his whetstone and sharpen it often, and he would just swing his body, take a short step forward, swing his body again, another step forward, and he would keep working and keep working, reaping and harvesting the field, and the grain, the stalks would just fall flat on the ground as the farmer worked his way around the field. That's the sickle, that's the scythe, that's the reaping. And we're told here that the world is going to be like a harvest field, and every stalk will be cut down, and every soul will be harvested. You'll notice the announcement in verse 15 at the very end. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And the command is, thrust in thy sickle. And then in verse 18, for her grapes are fully ripe. And then those grapes are trodden in the wine press. Now, there's a lot of details to come here, and I'm not going to be able to preach all of them here tonight. But the big idea is that every soul will be reaped. Every soul will be gathered in on that day of the harvest. And how good it will be to die in the Lord, or to be reaped in the Lord. Because the Lord gave the parable in Matthew 13 where the tares are put into bundles to be burned, and the wheat is gathered into the Lord's barn. And none will escape the sight of the Son of Man on the cloud of glory, coming to reap. It won't matter where you're living on the world, whether you're in Jerusalem or Jamaica, you're going to be reaped. Whether you be in Bethel, outside Jerusalem, or Boston, you're going to be reaped. Whether you're in Tel Aviv or Toronto, you're going to be reaped. Whether you're in Joppa or Ottawa, you're going to be reaped. Whether you're in Calvary or Calgary, you're going to be reaped and gather in. And my last one, whether you're standing at Capernaum or Cloverdale, the great sickle will be thrust in, and your soul will be gathered, the righteous to reign with Christ, the wicked to be burned, and oh, the wrath that we have learned here. And we're told that every eye shall see him. And this is my answer when people ask me, what do you think is the future for Israel? What do you think is the future for Jerusalem? It's the same future that every part of the world will have on that great day. And I'd rather be a Christian saved by grace in Cloverdale than to be the most devout Jew in Jerusalem without Christ, without a Savior. And so tonight we are indeed blessed and privileged to have this blessed assurance that it is well with our souls. Are you ready? Are you saved? Are you persevering? That's really the big question. Are you persevering as a Christian? I'm not asking you, did you sign a card 20 years ago? I'm not asking you, do you profess Jesus' name? I'm asking, are you persevering? Are you living for the Lord and pressing on, making new ground every day for Him? That's what we have here in Revelation 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today, and I hope that this message has been a solemn warning to your soul. There is a harvest day coming when all that are in this world shall stand before God and give account. There will be the reaping of the wicked and the gathering in of the saints. You need to make sure that you are saved, that you are a born-again, blood-washed Christian, justified by the power of the gospel. And of course, you are invited to flee to the Lord Jesus, to trust in Him as your Lord and as your Savior. If I can be of personal help, I invite you to call me, email me, or write to me. And I trust that God will give you a seeking heart to know the way of salvation. Now, you can call on the Lord today by simply looking up Romans 10:13, verse 9 says that whosoever shall confess the Lord with his mouth, that God hath raised up his Son, shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I trust that you will call and trust in the Lord for salvation. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Let me invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6, as we minister God's Word. On Sundays, we have a series on the seven sayings of the Savior on the cross. This will lead us right up to Easter, and of course, this series gets us right into the heart of the death of our Lord Jesus on that cruel cross. So join us Sundays at 10:30, and then on Sunday evenings, we're still ministering in the book of Revelation, and I hope that you'll come as we learn of the sights and sounds of heaven. That's here at our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, on the corner of 58th Avenue and 188th Street, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. You can find all this information on our website if you go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get all the information you need about our radio broadcasts, how you can hear them again, and how you can join us in our church services. We also webcast our Sunday services so that you can view and listen on your computer or device from home. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher inviting you to be a part of our program day by day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., also Sunday mornings at 9:30. For all this information, go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and join us again as we let the Bible speak.